Good morning, this is Frank Settapani with the CBS World News Roundup. Standing before the World Court today, lawyers representing Libya accused the United States and Britain of using threats to force the surrender of two Libyans suspected in the Pan Am Flight 103 bombing over Lockerbie, Scotland. Dan Revive reports from The Hague.
In their rebuttals today, U.S. and British government lawyers are saying that the U.N. Security Council has the power and has already decided that Libya must hand over the two alleged bombers for trial in the U.S. or Britain. Earlier, Ian Brownlee, a British barrister hired by Libya, told the 16 World Court judges that the U.S., with British help but without justification, bombed Libya in 1986, and now there's another threat of force.
The attempt to take the moral high ground by the respondent states is highly questionable.
Lawyers for the respondent states, the U.S. and Britain, said their governments are relying on the U.N. Security Council to impose sanctions on Libya. Dan Revive, CBS News, at the International Court of Justice in The Hague.
A State Department official denies a New York Times report that the U.S., Britain, and France told China it would lose U.S. trade privileges if it vetoes proposed U.N. trade sanctions against Libya. China would neither confirm nor deny the report. U.N. diplomats say China is against the use of sanctions to force Libya to hand over the suspects, but it's not likely to use its veto to stop them. A published report says customs agents posing as Iraqi frontmen foiled a scheme to sell $96 million in weapons, which may have included some nuclear weapons. The Los Angeles Times says two California men and six former Polish government officials were arrested as part of the conspiracy. The deal allegedly included thousands of Soviet-made grenade launchers, portable anti-aircraft missiles, and Kalashnikov assault rifles. Bombs damaged two U.S.-owned businesses in Bogota, Colombia during the night, killing a security guard and wounding three other people. The bombs blew up at offices occupied by Diners Club and Citibank. There was no immediate indication that the attacks were part of separate terrorist campaigns being waged by Colombian drug gangs and left-wing guerrillas. President Bush, in a taped radio address that was billed as an official speech but used language usually heard in political campaigns, asked the public to support his economic recovery proposals. The president took a broad swipe at Democrats in Congress, accusing them of aggravating the federal deficit by passing pork barrel legislation.
I don't think the federal government can afford to fund prickly pear research or study asparagus yield declines. Those who reject these pork barrel projects will stand with me and the American taxpayer.
House Majority Whip David Bonier promised to go along with spending cuts, but said the ones favored by Democrats would be more meaningful than those the president wants.
We'll make rescissions in the Congress, but we're not going to get a $400 billion deficit under control by cutting prickly pear programs. And we're certainly not going to control it with the gimmicks in the president's plan.
The distance separating Bill Clinton from Jerry Brown may have had something to do with the relative calm nature of last night's debate between the two Democratic presidential hopefuls. St. Paul television station KTCA carried the debate. Eric Escala of CBS radio station WCCO has the story.
Bill Clinton and Jerry Brown, both hoarse from the rigors of near nonstop campaigning, stuck to their major themes. Clinton as an advocate for a national economic strategy complete with a new commitment to education and training. Brown as the guerrilla fighting insurgent calling for hand-to-hand combat to remove what he called the governing elite from Washington.
This is not about getting along and going along and being approved by all the boys in Washington. This is about confronting a failing status quo that doesn't serve the American people.
Clinton criticized Brown's proposed flat income tax as unfair to low and middle income Americans, the very group Brown says his plan will help. And the Arkansas governor also contrasted his record with the tone of the Brown campaign.
I've been working out here for 11 years. I've worked hard. And as Governor Brown pointed out, I come from a poor state. But we've made a lot of progress. We've done things that we couldn't have done if we just said nothing could be done because the system's corrupt.
Clinton appeared by satellite from a fundraising event in Indianapolis. Brown was in a St. Paul studio and plans campaign appearances today in Minnesota and Wisconsin, two states with primaries on April 7th. Eric Escala for CBS News, Minneapolis.
In response to a question from an HIV-positive couple, both men said they would be willing to be tested for the AIDS virus. A Philadelphia AIDS hotline has been getting scores of calls after authorities reported the arrest of a man infected with a virus who allegedly had sexual contact with hundreds of teenage boys. Francis Stoffer runs the city's AIDS task force.
We have, in fact, had some young men come forward to be tested. That's already occurred. In general, we found that this man was widely known all across the city, and it seemed, I think all of us have been amazed at the network of contacts that he in fact had.
Known in the area as Uncle Eddie, the suspect is identified as Ed Savitz, who's said to be a well-to-do businessman. His attorney says Savitz has a history of mental illness. The New York Times reports that Agriculture Secretary Edward Madigan is under federal investigation for his role as a director of the failed Olympic Federal Savings Association of Berwyn, Illinois. The report says the inquiry, standard procedure for S&L failures, could lead to a civil suit to recover more than $100 million the government lost when Olympic went under. It's 7 minutes after the hour. With political storm clouds casting a dark shadow over Capitol Hill, Congress may not be paying as much attention as it should to the country's problems. WTOP's Dave McConnell reports.
Congress goes about its business in a gloomy, defensive mood, preoccupied by the continuing fallout from the House bank and post office scandals and fearful other things like inexpensive haircuts and meals. And markdown prices at the congressional stationery stores will be seen as further evidence of special privileges. Colorado Senator Hank Brown says the real problem here isn't perks, it's failure to face the reality that the nation is mortgaging its future.
Playing with the perks is like rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. It may provide some entertainment, but it is not dealing with the problem. What Congress has to do is face up to the problem of the enormous deficit and begin to eliminate the waste.
Brown strongly supports President Bush's move to force a series of floor votes on individual spending projects so members could be held personally responsible for how taxpayers' money is spent. Dave McConnell for CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Ethnic violence in Moldova is reportedly prompting the president of that former Soviet republic to declare a state of emergency. Bill Gasparini is monitoring the situation from Moscow.
The declaration was not unexpected, given the bloody fighting which has gone on in Moldova over the past month. About 30 people have been killed in clashes between Russians and ethnic Romanians in the small republic. Romanians make up about two-thirds of Moldova's 4 million inhabitants, as the republic was part of Romania until dictator Joseph Stalin annexed it in 1940. Since the collapse of the Soviet Union, there's been talk in the republic of possibly rejoining Romania, or at least forming an economic union. Fearing this, leaders of the Russian minority declared their own republic on the east bank of the Dniester River, where most of the Russians live. No one has recognized their republic, however, and Russian militants have clashed repeatedly with Moldovan security forces. Bill Gasparini for CBS News, Moscow.
Officials in St. Petersburg, Russia, say the nearby nuclear plant that leaked radioactive gas earlier this week won't be restarted without being checked out by the International Atomic Energy Agency. Radiation levels are said to be normal. The Irish Republican Army says it was behind a mortar bomb attack in Newry, Northern Ireland. The bomb killed one police woman and wounded her partner. A two-week strike by Pittsburgh transit workers is getting under the skin of riders who've had to do without buses and trolleys. Pat Clunan of CBS radio affiliate KQV tells us how they intend to vent their frustration.
285,000 commuters are affected by the strike. This afternoon, some of those commuters plan a protest against the strikers. Duquesne University student Marsha Walkney is organizing that protest.
We're tired of it, we're fed up, and we'd like them to get back to work.
Walkney gets rides from her three sisters.
I have one friend that hasn't been home ever since the strike started. She's fortunate enough to have wonderful grandparents and an aunt. They're letting her stay at their house and giving them her rides.
Business is off as much as 30% at downtown department stores and restaurants. A state mediator will resume contract talks at about the same time the protest gets underway. Pension costs are a key issue. Pat Clunan for CBS News, Pittsburgh.
It's 10 minutes after 7.